Celtic Stuff Live with your hosts, Justin Poulin and John Duke.
Welcome to Celtic Stuff Live on the CLNS Media. Oh, man. I say CLNS Media. I'm excited. You're listening to me, and you're saying, wait, I know that voice, but usually the other guy talks, and then this voice talks. Not tonight, fans. Not tonight. Justin Poulin, under the weather. I don't know if he's got the coronavirus. I'm not sure what's going on.
He's in parts unknown. Throwback Thursday,
you know,
man.
Voice. There's another voice, you know, and that's the one and only Nick Gelso. We're throwing it back. We're not going to talk about Kyrie Irving.
We could if you want. I put out a great tweet tonight. Did you see it?
Oh, I did.
Tweet. He blocked me, you know.
Kyrie. Well, yeah. Well, you know, that's probably the most defense he's done. I mean, that's, you know, Kyrie. Yeah. And
let's not go there.
My part. Just to close the circle on that, you were right, Nick. You were right, Nick.
I don't take pleasure in it, John.
I know. I know you don't. You're a true Celtics fan through and through, and we all wanted it to work out or whatever that meant. But, man, what a
what a nightmare. It's a lot different now. We can say that.
Indeed. And we've kind of gone to the point where that guy is he who shall not be named. So we're going to move past that. We're going to move past Kyrie Irving. Celtics playing well. Things are moving in the positive direction. I don't know if Justin can still take credit for the swoon that had happened, but the Celtics are playing well. They're back. Great win in Miami this week. But, you know, honestly, I think everything that has happened over the last, you know, 3, 4, 5, really this week has really kind of come under the pall and the sad situation that obviously afflicted, you know, all of us as we came to learn about Kobe Bryant's passing, a terrible, tragic helicopter crash, his daughter passing away. And I just get chills and we're recording late here on Thursday night. I had to go to my son's basketball practice. I'm helping his team out. So, you know, I get the whole dad thing and getting involved, but, you know, we've seen a lot of tributes and all that, but Nick, what's been your thoughts? Cause you've kind of gone through this.
First of all, John, how, like, ironically poignant yet awkward is Boston lit up in purple, particularly Boston Garden in purple and gold. So I had to go and take the train down to North Station to see it for myself. But it's been, I mean, it just goes to show that Bostonians are not just really good sports fans, they're classy. And Kobe, I, of course, am heartbroken, but we don't need to canonize him. I think we have to remember that he was a human being that made mistakes. And I'll give you what I loved about him. I loved his throwback mentality, not the Mamba mentality, but the throwback mentality. He was a throwback to a time when you didn't exchange jerseys after the closing buzzer with your opponents, right? And he had the work ethic and the drive. But then he was also Kobe, you know, where I have to say, you know, after the dust settled, I thought of you, John, because you always called him like the world-class turd or something, you know? And I'm not going there tonight. Because, but the one thing is, and it's almost shocking that CNN is the only network that I've heard, you know, mention the Denver situation. There was a dark side to Kobe. I think he mellowed out as he got older. He definitely was intimidating. You know, I think you covered 2010, right? I mean, the finals there. I mean, he had an intimidating side. I really liked him with the media. I thought he was funny. But the faces, like, you know, I could be petty and bring up things that annoy me. In all truth be told, I would take 10 Kobes over 3/4 of the league today.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna focus on the positive at the start here.
Yeah, I don't think I was negative. Do you?
No. I think it's honest, absolutely. Yeah. And he, what was I think what we could appreciate as older fans, I guess at this point, we want to say that, he harkens back to the era that his dad came up in, the 80s. You know, Kobe and I are the same age. And the appreciation that he shows for the game then and the growth of the game and hard, you know, physical, mental toughness, he plays such a priority on that. And I've always appreciated that of him, that, you know, I think that was something that he took a special pride in. I mean, certainly to shoot free throws when you got an Achilles tear. That takes something. That takes something.
That's incredible.
I mean,
I hate to say, John, I don't want to cut you off here, but
no.
You're going to edit this out first. Or you can leave it in. It's a podcast. I really don't care. Somehow my Skype went on speakerphone in the middle of you doing this. I'm going to turn it off. Okay. I think I got it. Yeah, I thought that when he did that, it was like, okay, this guy is – there's no words I could say it. I mean, that's the most painful injury short of what happened to Hayward in basketball, right? I mean, right. The dude gets up and shoots the free throws just in case he's okay to go back in. Come on.
Unbelievable. Yep. It takes a special mental toughness. It takes, you know, a will that is just not normal. And so that's the part of that Mamba mentality stuff that I appreciated.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, like I said, he's the same age I am. So I'm coming out of high school. Yep. We're coming out of high school the same time. I'm not going to the NBA.
Nah, I'm just starting to gain weight and smoke weed. Right. I mean, that's really what it's all getting.
Right.
This is like the R-rated Celtic stuff live with me on here. So
exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's all good. And you know, he goes to the Lakers and obviously Shaq's there. And the thing about Kobe, okay, I'm going to go into it because I can't hold myself back.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you got to be honest, man. I mean, there was great side and there was an ugly side.
There was an ugly side. And I looked at Kobe as somebody who had the potential to be the greatest basketball player ever.
Yeah.
I really did. I thought his athleticism, his intelligence, his toughness, and the fact that he was in some ways born on second base, not necessarily as in terms of being the son of a basketball player, but who ended up in the loss in the Lakers playing for Phil Jackson not initially, but eventually playing for Phil Jackson.
Who did he play for initially? Del Harris.
Yeah.
Del Harris. I know Cooper. Coop was the assistant coach on that.
That's right.
I remember that.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you got that. You play with Shaq, the most dominant player of that era, without question. Most dominant player in my lifetime. I mean, there's something about LeBron who catches on the wing and puts the ball down and going to the rack. But Shaquille O'Neal in those in between, you know, that Lakers tenure was unlike anything that I can really compare it to. And certainly with the way the game's changed, you can't even compare it to today.
Mm-hmm.
And
that wasn't even compared to when we were growing up and it was
great. Right. Right. Yeah. So you take all that and then it falls apart. And the Lakers drama. Think, right, we got to push Shaq out. I got to be the top guy. You know, there's an era there where his numbers are great. He gets the 81-point game.
Top 300 shots.
Right. That's what I'm saying, right? And so he asks out. You know, so there's a period of, you know, obviously the Colorado situation. We don't even need to go into that. Everyone knows that situation.
Yeah.
So, you know, you look
at you know, the problem is, Duke, I don't think a lot of people, I think young people don't even know. I mean, when you think about it, it's not been mentioned. ESPN has not mentioned it, I don't think, one time.
Yeah.
And that's not fair because I boycott ESPN as much as possible. But when I've had it on, they've not mentioned it.
Yeah. And it's... But it's like, you know, but even if you just keep it on the floor, I mean, he wanted to be the man. So, okay, you're the man, right? And he had great,
man.
He's got great PER stats and all this. But some of those Lakers teams were so disappointing.
But, dude, you know, he stuck with them. 20 years with the same team through losing and winning, and he won without Shaq, which was the ultimate, you know, that was his goal. I mean, that's the one thing I got to disagree with you on, because, and I think if this was 10 years ago, I would agree totally with you. But today, with the, you know, no loyalty to what the jersey on your back whatsoever, I look at Kobe, a guy, and Paul Pierce, who would have stayed forever, a guy, guys like that, as they should be the role models. So if anything comes out of this, I hope that it's, if you're talking about it from a basketball standpoint, I hope it's loyalty to your franchise and also work ethic and killer mentality. And no, you don't have to French kiss your opponent after every game like these guys do. It's disgusting.
It's weird. It's really bizarre. And
it's almost as weird as Isaiah and Magic kiss. Remember they used to kiss?
Oh, yeah.
Like wacky.
You know. It was.
We went from Bird, who was like wanted to kill each other, even in the end when they became friendly, to Isaiah, who was so sissified to begin with. Anyway, let's just go. Let's move on.
yes. But, you know, so we appreciated that about him. But it was so single-minded. It was so in search of his own greatness as opposed to in search of his team's greatness, you know. And I know other players appreciated that, and they held that up as, well, look how great that is. But look how great his teams weren't in that era, in that post-Shaq era, 05, 06, 07. I mean, he's asking out. He asked out of L.A., right?
Yeah.
To make the deal.
Yeah. Well, so, they had to put. I mean, he had to push them. It's like Pierce asking out of Boston.
Sure. And it was almost the same exact timing, right? You know, it was, seven, you know, and Pierce
Dude,
is
was
like,
that the perfect storm? I mean, you think about it, that whole situation. I mean, even that Lakers team, I mean, the Celtics destroyed them. But when you think about it, the Celtics were a far better team. I mean, Bynum couldn't play, right? Yeah. You had Powell, you had Fish, and you had Kobe. He had a great coach. I mean, that team weren't stacked, and he took them to the finals. I agree with you, but in today's NBA, it's very hard for me to, villainize somebody who stuck with their franchise. You know, that's my biggest thing, right? Is this lack of loyalty. I think it's destroying the game. That and Adam Silver's combating that with more, contests that make no sense. Like, what is this all-star thing? I mean, I'm glad that they're doing tribute to Kobe. They should. Yeah. Oh, my God. And Stern. Will somebody please mention David Stern? But, I mean, do they have to do, like, bingo or Yahtzee in the middle of each quarter? Could we just play basketball?
Pictionary. We're going to do Pictionary charades. Charades. And get 5 extra points if you're – yeah, I know. Sounds like – don't we all want to see Taco Fall play charades? I mean, let's be honest.
Oh,
I mean, that
come
been,
on.
That'd be amazing.
That'd be great. Right? Yeah, that'd be great. But, I love when Scal says, we just don't want Taco to turn into the clown. You're like, Scal, come on, man. You're one to preach. Right? I mean, Scal's the original. Anyone. Him and Greg Kite are the original clowns. Right? Well, Scal's legend has grown, the White Mamba.
Oh, it has. I mean, absolutely. I mean, that's – and that's – you know, poor you know, you're right. I mean, I don't want to see anybody be a mockery of the game. And it's not like the All-Star game is some sort of sanctified situation. But it does feel gimmicky, you know?
It's so gimmicky.
And that's what we're losing some of that traditional powerhouse, you know, looking forward to that Sunday afternoon on CBS when Philly was coming to Boston.
Come on. And
you'd circle your whole weekend around seeing Doc and Tony and those guys going up against Bird and McHale and Parrish and
then they'd
Gerald
fight
Henderson.
The pregame and Max going
of course.
In the stands. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean that's
talk
you
about
would build, you build your weekend around that stuff.
You would build your week and your Sunday dinner around it, right? You didn't
have
dinner. You had it either early, and it usually was later because the early game was Boston. Yeah, I mean, the league has lost that luster, I think. But you look at Kobe, right? We're talking here. Before we move on from Kobe, you mentioned the respect for the game. You got guys like LeBron I'm not going to go into a bash LeBron. Don't worry.
Do it.
But, no, you know, who could do it. This network is founded upon hating LeBron. But
absolutely.
But you look at LeBron, who preaches the history of the game, but really I don't believe it. It's like him saying he read The Godfather for five consecutive years because he put it out of his locker so everybody saw it. Kobe, he knew the game, man. I mean, and the legends respected him. I mean, there's a video that Max has been tweeting around of Kobe walking right by at the end of the last game in LA. He's walking right by he's walking out of the arena, and there's Marcus Smart talking to Max. He stops. Marcus thinks he's going to say hello to him. He goes and pays respect to Cedric Maxwell. To me, that is somebody who knows the game, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Poor Marcus. He looks really goofy in that because he punked Marcus. But it was he knew the game, Kobe, and he knew the rivalry. Right. He understood the rivalry between the Celtics and the Lakers. And I think that's what made 08 and 2010, that whole era there, when it was almost like throwing back to when we were growing up, John. And I give that to the fire of Kevin Garnett and the fire of Kobe Bryant.
No, you're right. And looking at that 2008 lens, 2010 lens, you know, great stuff on The Jump. Paul Pierce talking about how he felt like the truth. There wouldn't have been the truth without Kobe, you know, because and I remember that LA, that game in LA where he went off and a Celtics team that really had playing against a truly great team and that Laker team.
That's right. They should have been in the Forum, right?
Write this down. Don't take anything out, right? Is what Shaq told the Steeple Pet, and he is the mother bleeping truth.
Yep, and it stuck, man. But he was. And Pierce, it's funny, John, isn't it? I mean, we get a little reminiscent, and like when sad things like this happen, makes you think. You look at a guy like Paul Pierce, and some of these now, I guess we're at the point where we could call Pierce a legend of the game, and I'm proud of Paul Pierce. I am proud of Kobe that he comes from. I mean, you're right. He maybe never reached his potential by what held him back in his own mind with stubbornness and elitism in some ways. But he did get us through the Jordan exit and into the LeBron era. And that was an ugly portion of basketball, John, they were bringing the 3-point line in. It was just the Malice at the Palace. So I really give – at that point, if you think about it, he along with Shaq and a couple others, were the face of the league. And Kobe, I don't know how – he just morphed into Jordan in so many ways. He couldn't shine Jordan's Nikes, but he mimicked him in the way that he played and then the way he spoke and the way he carried himself, almost in the same vein as Jordan and Dr. J and those – really, and for a guy who came right out of high school, immature but mature at the same time, if that makes sense.
No, absolutely, it makes a lot of sense, right? And I think that experience being overseas, being the son of a former NBA player, certainly helps with that. I think that you're right. He was that bridge to the LeBron era, and Shaq obviously had a big part in that as well.
Yep.
I think that. As you said, he was not Jordan. And that's been the difficulty I've had in some of the coverage since over the last few days. It's not that he wasn't a great player. He was a great player. Did I think he could have been more and become more of a complete player? Absolutely. I don't feel like he did that. And this is about degrees here. I'm not saying he wasn't a great player. He was a great player. We're talking about, is he the sixth best player of all time? The 12th best player of all time?
I don't think he's in the top 10. I don't know.
I don't either. But you know what I mean? Like, that's what we're talking. We're talking about how great – I mean, it's small layers of greatness, And the way that some of the conversations are going, cultural significance, yes. But as a player – there's a lot of guys on that list you gotta be real about. We gotta talk
but
about
those guys that you're thinking about.
Jordan and Kareem.
Yeah,
Kareem. Those guys, you gotta talk about those guys. Magic, Bird. Magic, okay, yep. Those are five guys right
Isaiah.
There.
Isaiah. I mean, I hate them, but Isaiah.
Wilt, Jerry West.
I mean, I can go Jerry. I'll tell you what, man. I mean, and no one has been more over the top in their tributes to Kobe than Turner. And I love TNT. I mean, I don't love the broadcast, but I love the you know, the Barkley Shaq. And Shaq broke my heart other night. I mean, you want to talk about if you have kids and they're in their teens and they're getting to that point where they're a little snotty or they're, you know, let them watch that, because you looked at that man who is 7 foot something and 300 pounds over, and he was crying like a baby out of not just the fact that he lost someone that meant something to him, but dude, there was a lot of regret coming out of those tears. And he even said it. And then what was totally heartbreaking, I mean, the world-class crier is Jerry West. But seeing him at 90 crying the way he was was really upset. It was unsettling. But no one there, you know, mentioned some of it. Barkley did a little bit, to the point where he said, you know, there was an area where he felt like Kobe became a human and more likable after he got, you know, after he had the kids and everything else, and it mellowed him. But yeah, I mean, when you talk a guy like Derek Fisher, you know, oh man, I mean, the thing is, you with all the guys we just mentioned ahead of Kobe, possibly, arguably, majority of them don't have five rings. Bird doesn't, Isaiah doesn't, Wilt certainly doesn't, West certainly doesn't. Right. You know, so that's where Kobe becomes in an elite category. And the Celtics, in the classiest way possible, paid amazing tribute to him tonight, as they always do. And people do not give them the respect for inventing the montage, because they did, the Boston Celtics. That was not a thing that teams did prior to the Celtics. You know, so they did a great job tonight, man. I don't know if you've seen it yet. I know you were late to the game. But it was poignant. It's on our Instagram, CLNS Media.
What little I did see was they were showing clips with photos of players with him, you know, which to me, that's the legacy that I think I want to be more in touch with, in terms of appreciating that and appreciating that he was a beacon to other players to become something. And I think that's a part of it that I can't appreciate, because I'm not a player. You know, I'm just a guy watching the game. But Jason Tatum, you know, that's his guy, you know, and a lot of them. And, you know, we saw Trae Young and all these guys. Right. Sure. You know, like that's something else that isn't, you know, counting rings or how many MVPs or scoring records or whatever. That's about, you know, aspiration, you know, which is and a really important thing. Absolutely. You know, and so do you treat that differently? Sure. You know, what's kind of lost me is, well, let's retire the number league wide, or let's change the logo.
I can't see any of that. And that's way too much. And that's, I'm part of the media, but that's the media driven. And it's, I mean, if you want to retire the number first, the NBA is never – okay, the closest the NBA has probably seen to this is Magic getting HIV, right?
Yep.
So – and that was – we didn't know what HIV was other than that people die immediately from it. We all thought he was going to die immediately. I still remember Stern hugging him at the All-Star game and thinking, is David Stern going to die now? I mean, that was a moment – in time where, you know, and people were not talking enough about David Stern, but, you know, that's a moment in time where that was hugely controversial for him and brave for Stern to do that, even though anyone with a brain and over the age of 13 would know you can't get AIDS that way. It was still not widely educated. The awareness wasn't there. Magic started that. So, I mean, Kobe dying is – dude, I'll tell you what, man, when my alert went off, I mean, my heart stopped. It stopped. It did. And I didn't have the kind of disdain for him that you did. I did really think of you almost immediately once the dust settled, because I remember long before CLNS listening to CSL and you just turding all over him. And but again, time mellows people, and it's hard to believe he's retired 4 years, man. And and now he's gone. And the daughter, I mean, like, that's just
that's
heartbreaking. That's, I mean, I killer. Can't even yep. imagine. I prayed to God in heaven that it was fast.
Yeah.
That those two didn't even have a chance to look at each other and know that they were going to go.
Yeah.
Because I can't, and I don't have kids. I can't, you have a family. I can't even imagine what a parent would feel in that way. But yeah, I mean, I the things, let's just round this out, right? The things, I mean, Kobe ultimately had drive personified. Definitely a throwback in the way that, you know, there was no love lost for his opponents. I think you got to look at the fact that he spent his entire career committed to a franchise. Maybe you're like, as you put it, he tore it apart in the Shaq era, but he stayed with them through the bad years. And those are the things. And then ultimately, regardless of Colorado, he was clearly a good father. Clearly.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, so yeah. I have nothing but heartache for their family, for the Lakers. I mean, I'm close with Michael Cooper. I'll tell you, it's not funny, but that it's so Cooper, I don't know, about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, maybe about a month ago, I was going to the garden. I'm on my way to the garden, and there's a video that comes across. I don't know. It wasn't YouTube. It might have been Instagram, and it was Kobe. He looked to be speaking at a college in California or somewhere, and he's with the moderator, and he's talking about, you know, today's game versus his game versus his idol's game, right? And somehow, unprovoked, he goes into riffing about how, you know, Bird could have been considered overrated, like he couldn't have been that difficult to guard. And he said, and I spoke to the Showtime Lakers about this, you know, Rambis, Worthy, Magic, you know, these guys. I looked them right in the face. And I said, that was a slow white boy. And I heard that. And I thought, the dude didn't even mention Michael Cooper. So I immediately took the video on my way into the garden and texted it to Coop. The dude lost his shit. So, got, you know, after this happened this weekend, I get a text from Cooper. He's like, can't talk going on CNN, but man, do I feel bad for being pissed at Kobe about something so petty.
Yeah.
So, and he wasn't really mad. It was just like, dude, come on. He was the bird stopper, Coop. Like, you want to talk sure about was. Anybody, a defensive player of the year, you know, there's a guy that deserves the credit, but... And then if you look, I removed an episode out of Joe Sway and Cedric Maxwell's podcast. They had a great segment that was kind of poking a little fun at Kobe. But that's the thing about Kobe, too. And I did not see it. I obviously didn't know him. But from what I've heard from people who do know him, he had a great sense of humor for somebody who always looked pretty smug.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That is true. I mean, it seems like he's been someone who was always someone who could take the joke and could give as much as
give it back.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and yep. that's, and that, you got to respect that. And like you said, I mean, there was, I think Justin probably actually had more dislike for Kobe.
He went
to that game in 2007 when things were really down
when
they chanted MVP. And I don't think Justin still gets the shakes over that, but that has more to do with the fans and that were there. And I, having gone to the Laker game, you know, a week and a half ago, you know,
they're still sold a lot of purple and gold in those stands.
They're out there, you know, and that's, I think that's the most difficult thing is,
yeah, it is.
Those folks, they feel it so strongly. And you know, I've been trying to tell those folks for a while that, you know, as good as he is, there were others who were better, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But he's still great, and he was a great player. And I think he, as you said, I think in his post career or towards the end of his career, he found, he found a mellow, and he became more human. You know, I've heard other people say that, and I felt that watching him. It felt like this is a person. You know, it's not this mama mentality nonsense that really I thought was
even I gotta agree with
not
you.
Helpful.
If you go back to, you know, our archives, you could see him straight through 2011, 10-11 through to the end, his last game. And I did go through because we were re-releasing a lot of the videos, obviously. Yeah. And it is a distinct difference between the way he was with the media. I mean, in the end, he was really, really respectful to the fans of Boston, to the franchise, and joking, kidding around. I know his last game, he had a film crew with him, and he was and I don't think it ever came out, so maybe we'll see it now after he's passed, but he was documenting his farewell tour. And so out doing the garden report on the parquet, and Jeremy, the cameraman, is looking over, and there's Kobe's camera crew. They filmed the whole garden report as it was going, and afterwards, I believe it went down. Like Jared Weiss had said, like, dude, like, you know, I'm sorry, we didn't know you were gonna film, we wouldn't have been here. Like, we were just doing the job, right? And Kobe was like, no, man, that was awesome. I think we're gonna put it in the documentary. So it's a good opportunity that if that documentary is ever released, now that he's passed, that you might see some CLNSers in there. That's pretty awesome. Awesome. He had an aura, didn't he? I mean, he walked in a room, didn't have to say a word, and you knew he was there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Enough of that.
Enough of that. Hey, you know what? Speaking of people who played the big game, it's less than a week out before the big game, but you can get in on a ton of wagering action. What a
transition.
I know, right? How long will the national anthem go? Will there be a wardrobe malfunction? How many yards will Patrick Mahomes throw for? There are literally hundreds of props to bet on before the big game even starts. Head over to betonline.ag and use our promo code CLNS50 to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit and get in on everything about the big game. Bring the playoffs home with our exclusive sportsbook partner, BetOnline. All right. So
we're back.
Did that thing. Yeah. Now.
You killed that.
We did that. Check.
I'll tell you what. BetOnline is sending Goodman and Ryan to the Final Four. How about that?
That's going to be some good stuff. Way
to
go. Yeah,
Bob has really come around, hasn't he? He's like everywhere again. It's good to see him looking good and healthy, and his show's great.
And it's a great pairing. I love how those two play off each other. And, you know, certainly Bob knows everything about everything ever. You know,
pairing
that with Goodman, who, you know, knows these kids and, like, you know, helped them tie their shoelaces at an AAU event when they were seven, you know.
That's true.
So it's fun. It's like, it's fun. I love the back and forth of those two.
There is the random Dolph Shays reference that we edit out occasionally from Bob. But for the most part, I mean, what is – I've been to Bob's house, so we film it. Now, Bob has now finally – he's graduated through Skype. He could use it. But I used to have to drive all the way to Hingham, which is about an hour and a half from my house to turn Skype on. But the man has boxes of box scores going back to the mid-60s. I mean, the dude is a box score junkie. I mean, I'm looking at his box scores of Bill Russell. That shit's got to be in the Hall of Fame at some point, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's pretty cool. Yeah, they're a good pairing. Then Bob compared Kobe to Jordan, so he's one of those guys.
It's hard not to. I mean, you can see it. Clearly he was the model that Kobe was going for. But
question.
Yeah,
no
I question. Mean,
and Jordan loved him, Duke.
He did.
Yeah,
he did.
Jordan loves anybody. Jordan loved Kobe. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so did Larry. Larry has not made a statement. I'm surprised.
You know, that's – yeah, you ask – it's funny. A lot of these guys, they really loved the way that guy went after it, which is so interesting because –
throwback.
He's a throwback, but in my mind, he did not play that type of team ball that Larry did or even that Michael did.
No,
you know?
But he had the mentality. We could do this all day.
That's it.
You're right, but he had the mentality that these players today don't have.
Yep.
I like someone who hates their opponent. I like someone who sticks on with their team. And Kobe did that, so I have to respect him. And I got to tell you, Duke, this will be the last thing I say on the topic. When the Celtics were going through the ML Carr era, and nothing against ML, but that was – and the Patino era, and the Paul Pierce coming out to the podium with bandages across his face – right. There were some times there prior to the Danny Ainge, Wick, Doc era. And even then, that you mentioned, you know, the MVP chance. It wasn't always rosy there before KG, that the Celtics were a slumping franchise. And I never rooted for the Lakers. But there was something for an old school basketball fan that was, I don't know, a little reassuring to see the Sixers go against the Lakers in the finals. You know, to see the Lakers there meant there was something left of when basketball was good. Now, taking that fast forward to 17 versus 16 is getting a little bit too close with LeBron and Anthony Davis in the driver's seat of that one championship away from the Celtics. But anyway, that brings us to current day. I just transitioned that really well.
That was great. Although I do have to say, 2001, 2002, 2000. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. I was not happy Larry's Pacers losing to
the
Lakers. That was tough to take. But
there was something reassuring seeing Larry in what was the fake fabulous form, right? The Staples Center.
Right.
Well,
we
have the fake Boston Garden. You can't get the critical.
True. This is true. But I would say during that period, it was – you're right. There was kind of a reassurance. Okay, this is – but then when they had 15 and we had 16, it was like, I don't know about this. But of course, all the titles won in Minneapolis don't count anyway. So,
well, I will say this, John. I do have a – and this is – I'm going to text it to you when we hang up. I have a letter. It wasn't written to me. But I have a letter from Dr. Buss in 1992, I want to say. Do you know at that point they still were not counting the Minneapolis Lakers championships with the Lakers in L.A.? And the way I know is because the memo that Dr. Buss is writing has all the championships at the top and the bottom, the header and the footer, and it's only the Los Angeles Lakers championships, which means the Celtics are still, six ahead of the Lakers? That's true. I know.
That's
I did
all
not
we
know
need
that.
To know.
I'm going to frame that baby.
That's all you need to know from straight from Dr. Buss's mouth. I mean, I think that's all we need to know. I mean, my goodness, come on.
Yeah,
now.
The fabulous version of Red's alter ego, a fabulous Red, Dr. Buss. I'll tell you one more thing. There is a video out there that Max keeps circulating on Twitter of that Iveroni fight with the Sixers.
Oh, yeah.
And when Red comes down on the court and he's throwing punches at Billy Cunningham, I mean, those were the days, man.
Those were the days.
Those
that
were
was
the days.
Stuff.
Red's out on the court in the midst of a brawl. It's great shit. It's just great. He's like 5'2". It's just awesome.
Oh, that was great. Billy Cunningham. Oh, that was some good stuff.
Yep.
All right, well, speaking of good stuff, we're going to pivot here.
Let's do it.
We got some all-stars. We have two all-stars we'll say the Eastern squad, but we know obviously they'll go into the pod and they'll be the draft here coming up.
So stupid.
Jason
some
Tatum.
People like it. Yep, Tatum. Yeah. I'm so happy for him.
Tatum
man.
Gets it. Brown does not, but Tatum gets on. What are your thoughts with Tatum making his first all-star game?
I think it is fitting, man. I'm happy for him. I think he deserves it. I feel bad for Jalen. I think Jalen is a great candidate for most improved player. But I think when it all is said and done, Jason just has a bit more of a all around. Jason has stepped up his defense in every way. He is rebounding. They both have very similar stat lines, honestly. But I think that when it all comes down to it, Tatum is more looked to as a go-to, a leader. Not that Jalen's not. I just think that that's the perception, and clearly that's what the voters thought.
Yeah. But if I'm sure Justin, when he listens to this, we give him a spirited defense of Jalen Brown and why he should have been there. And
truth of the matter is I had lost faith in Jalen last year, and I was telling Justin that. I mean, we're not going to bring up the name who, you know, a man we won't mention, but what a difference a year can make, because I saw, I'm not covering as many games this year, John, but I saw Jalen on several occasions, and it's almost as if the weight of the world is off his shoulders.
Yeah.
He was so heavy last year. Yeah.
He plays free now. I totally see that. I mean, I think last year towards the end, he was playing kind of like effort basketball, and I'm going to do what I'm going to do what I need to do, what's right, and not listen to that guy.
Yeah.
You know, but I think this year really he's a guy with purpose. He plays with purpose. Everything he does is well considered. He doesn't second guess. He plays confidently, and it's nice to see.
And also, you know, totally reassuring of his confidence in what Danny Ainge granted him contract wise after last year. That was a big leap of faith. But I think the big thing is Jalen has come, and we're talking about the guy who didn't make the All-Star team, but Jalen has come back this season, improving every aspect of his game. Mm-hmm. And it's ironic because we didn't see one Instagram video this summer of him carrying boulders up mountains and nonsense like that. You know, he just put his head down and improved his game. And coincidentally, when he's dribbling in traffic, he is no longer putting his head down and losing the ball quite as much either. He has improved every aspect of his game. And you said I was right. I don't need to say I told you so, but I did say over and over and over, not just on this show, but a lot of shows I went on, once that man is gone, the dark cloud is going to come off the team and everyone is going to be better. And it's clear that's the case. It's the one area where analytics, the way of the game today, fails. Analytics will always fail over chemistry. I never saw a team with less chemistry. And then this year, what a turnaround. Guys like Enes Kanter overachieving, you know, Daniel Theis, you know. So I'm glad to see that Jason is an all-star. We did a segment at the Garden the last game I was there. I said they should both be put in, and I think they should have been.
Yeah, I think the next question is how far away is he from that? And because
he's there.
In terms of can he still? I mean, if there's injuries and whatnot, I mean, are we talking about could we get three? Because I think Booker, everyone's looking at Booker as the next guy who should get in. I think Bradley Beal is probably in that conversation. I think Jalen. I think those Jalen, three are probably the best. You know, they're Booker, in that mix.
Right. Yeah, I can see Booker, Beal. I mean, okay. But I think, you're right. It's Booker, Beal, and Jalen. But Jalen and Jason were neck and neck, at least if you're looking at their stat line. What is their stat line? I think it's very similar, around 26-4 or something like that.
Yeah, I'll bring it up here.
I know Jalen or Jason is, I think, at like 21. I mean, think about that. That is a great stat line for someone coming out of their sophomore slump. 21-6-4 last I looked before the road trip.
Jalen. So Jason is almost 20. Was 21.5.
Yeah.
7-3.
That is a great stat line, man.
And Jalen is 20.
Yeah.
Almost 6.5 and 2.5.
That's so very. They're right there.
Below. Yeah.
Yeah, and I would say that there's no question, Brad Stevens is more apt to go to Jason in big moments than Jalen. Jalen tends to, and Joe Sway would tell you this, he mentions it all the time, Jalen tends to, not intentionally, but there are times where he kind of gets lost and his number's not getting called. You know, Jason's number's always getting called, it seems. And I don't think it's an intentional thing. I don't think it's a measurement of their one against the other. I think they're both I don't know. I mean, they both have dynamic games, right? Jalen's probably a better defender than Jason, but Jason's gotten much better this year.
I think as a team defender, Jason is much better than Jalen. I think on the ball, I think Jalen still has the nod, but I think as a team defender, and I think that's really where kind of those plus-minus numbers, net rating numbers, are really putting Tatum. I think that's why Tatum made the team,
Tatum,
honestly.
Yeah. I mean, you know, because off the charts.
Their plus minus when he's on the court and their net rating when he's on the court is just so much better than anybody else on the team. It's just like you have to reward that. But Jalen has a case in and of his own, and though his net rate isn't like superb, you know, it's like you said, it's hard to ignore 26.5 and 3, 2.5, and you know, he's shooting almost 50% from the field and almost 40%. He's almost 50-40-90.
That is unheard of today.
Yeah,
that's unheard of today. Unheard of, and that's coming from a guy like Jalen. There were points last year in particular where we were all, oh no, it was like the Marcus Smart shooting the three, you know, oh no, 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 you know, where, and then there's Marcus. We haven't said anything about Marcus, who, you know, is just, I mean, I used to have major problems with Marcus, you know.
I know you did.
They were unfounded. They were wrong.
They were.
Of course they were. This man is a, they were very wrong.
Yes.
This man is a Celtic through and through, and if Brad Stevens would just allow team captains, he'd have my vote.
No Marcus. Doubt. No, no doubt. It's insane that really has not happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they have not said, look, you're that guy. You're that dude, you know.
I think it's implied.
Probably. You're right. And to do that in the face of two older players who have max contracts maybe just creates too much tension.
Yep.
You know, Kemba certainly is a leader.
And
no.
Oh, Kemba for sure. Kemba, yeah, how is it to have a guy who says, I don't care how many points I score, I struggled tonight, but you know, we won. You know? I mean, that's refreshing. I love this team, man. I really, after coming off of a team I absolutely effing hated, mm-hmm. this is just so great to see that the culture is there. Celtics pride is still alive, and these guys embrace it. I mean, that's just exciting to me.
Last year's team was the my probably least favorite Celtics team of all time.
Ever. I mind too.
You know, I mean,
worse than Pitino teams.
Yeah, worse than Pitino teams. Because you know what the Pitino teams was? It was Pitino's. He was, again, it was an issue of expectations. Pitino was putting expectations out there in the media, and they weren't fulfilling them. So in the same way, there were similarities, but they were young teams, right?
It was
Antoine, and it was Paul, and, you know, Ron Mercer, McCarty.
Pitino, I almost said. Pitino, he sucked all the air out of the room. So anything that would have been a deterrent against the players would always go back to Pitino. I had stumbled across a YouTube. I'm a YouTube junkie, man. So I stumbled across it. Now that it's on Xfinity and you put it on your TV, man, it's just like, I can't stop watching old basketball games. I'm such a loser. I mean, like, I can't, I get done with this crap that we just saw. It was a good game. But, and I turn on, I'm like, I can't watch any more basketball. And I end up on YouTube watching the 1982 Celtics Sixers series. But the point is, I stumbled across Pitino. It looked like it was forced. And Red begging the crowd at Boston Garden, the old Garden, to give this team a chance on opening night. And it was definitely Pitino driven, but it was sad. I got to find that and send it to you. It was sad to see, to be honest with you. Mm. We've come a long way.
We've come a long way. Yeah. I think there's, you know, there's a lot of bad of the Pitino era. I still think his Fellowship of the Miserable rant was actually right on. You know, I think he actually was
that the bird and
yeah.
walking through the door?
Yes.
Yeah, it was right on. But
all
the
negativity
in
this town does suck, you know. And
it does.
It makes the greatest town in the world lousy. And he's right about that. Is that there is that negative bent that we – whatever happens in Boston, we haven't seen a lot of it, but
well, you've seen it now. You see what Brady posted?
Yeah.
I'm so sick of Brady, man. I'm not gonna go down that path.
Yikes. Okay, yeah, we're not gonna go there. That could we've gone after Kobe.
Let me just say one thing really quick, right? Did we talk nothing about the game, nothing about the current team? Okay. That's because we don't talk enough, dude. So that's anyway, right. I hope that this is for us listeners. It ain't for you. You guys just gotta endure it. Yeah. But I'm watching, it's late at night. I got home from the bar, so I'd had a couple martinis, and I'm laying in bed, and I have on, it's either old games or it's NBC Boston. I love what they do at NBC Boston. So I'm watching NBC Boston. This particular night, I wasn't loving it because Kobe had just died. You know, the Celtics were on a 3-game road trip in which, you know, case they just beat Miami And Cora is cheating, and the Bruins are – they can't finish, shocker. But they have a good record, you know. And it is the NFL offseason, at least for the Patriots. And these guys are talking about Tom Brady, Jimmy Garoppolo. I realize it's the Super Bowl's coming up. But, I mean, there's – like, let's not devote the whole show to it. So here I get my phone out, Duke, and I'm feeling no pain, so I'm feeling a little beer muscles, right? And I start to type out exactly what I just said, and I'm about to hit send, and it was like a lightning bolt hit me in the face. You better check your YouTube channel. I go to the YouTube channel, all Tom Brady. I'm like, you know what? I'm in that business, man. I mean, it is what it is. You got to go where the ratings are. So as much as it annoys me, the Brady stuff, it is what drives ratings.
Yeah.
And I am in New England, and he is God.
He is God, absolutely. Yes, the Father, the Son, and the Tom Brady. I mean, that's where we are.
Good God. You see what he posted tonight?
I did. I did the photo, and I don't know what that means either.
But... no one does that cryptic bullshit. And, like, so, of course, the phone blows up because everybody assumes I'm this big Tom Brady Patriots NFL fan, and I really don't I like the Patriots. I really like Belichick. I love Kraft. But I'm not really a fan, you know that. And I'm like, dude, I don't care if he stays or if he goes. I just care if they'd stop talking about him. Like, come on, stop posting pictures like that, Tom. Is this a Celtic show?
Rumor has it.
Wait, what year?
We spent most of the time talking about the 80s, I think. It's usually what happens when I get together, right? We talk about Max and
Irving. We got to spend some time on Max's Twitter handle, man. Come on. It's a moving comedy act. That podcast is so funny. Do you listen to the podcast?
Of course, I listen to it. It's fantastic. And how Joe Sway like just pulls stuff out of him, you know.
He knows what to say.
He does great.
He really knows what to say. Max doesn't hold back, man. But I'll tell you, that Twitter handle, those Max emojis, I'm dying to see who got it tonight. I bet you Hayward.
Yeah, tonight might have been Hayward. We're not talking too much about the game tonight, but we know he gets the Max emoji, you know.
But I'll tell you what, big game coming up Saturday.
Big Sixers. Game, yeah. So okay, so let's
reel it in one more time.
So here's what we do. So we do the outtakes, right? And so here's what we're gonna do. So this is our outtakes where we talk about what's gonna happen. We get two games.
I'll bring it back to Maurice Teeks. Don't worry about it.
Okay, good. Okay, we got Philly and Atlanta. Then we got to figure out what's gonna happen those two games. So we'll talk about Caldwell Jones and John Konkak.
Bobby Jones. John Konkak.
Okay, John Konkak and John Battle.
John Battle. Oh, my. John Battle was good.
He was good.
He didn't get enough credit.
No.
Oh, Kevin Willis, who was better than Kevin McHale. Remember that McHale scored like 60-50 on him? I'm better than Kevin McHale. Yeah, runner. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Sixers will be a good game though, and
is Boston gonna get that one?
They have to.
What's gonna
have to?
What do you think?
I think they have to. And you talk about Kobe fire, they have to have the fire and do it because they have every opportunity, every ability. You saw them against Miami and Philadelphia. Even with Al, I still think they're a mentally midget team, and Boston just has to play harder. The first three games, I take opening night and I throw it right in the garbage.
Yeah.
But the next two games were just Philly outplayed them.
Yeah.
The better team won.
Though they were on both of those situations on the second half of a back-to-back.
Which, come on, dude. They're 22 years old.
It matters.
Oh, it doesn't.
It does.
Doesn't. I almost think they play better on the second night of a back-to-back. These guys are 22, man.
Listen, it's been a long time since I was 22.
Me too, but they don't even practice, dude.
I know, but I'm just telling you, they did not look in either its situation. They did not look like themselves, and I think
do you attribute that to the back-to-back? I mean, during the KG era, that had every sense in the world, but you think it still does even with these young guys?
I think there's something. Look, you get in at 3 o'clock in the morning.
That has a lot to do with it, and I think they were in Milwaukee the night before, weren't they? And with the time difference.
Something like that.
Yeah, it was Milwaukee and then Philadelphia, I think. The time difference had them all jazzed up.
Yeah.
That's where I agree.
Yeah. I mean, that's the problem is like, I think that's been an issue. I also think, so remember, the last time they played them, Embiid was out. That was the first game Embiid was out. And so, you know, Ben Simmons was playing like his hair was on fire. Yeah. You know, he's going to show the world. Horford was had been playing badly. So
he turned into all-star, playoff Al.
Yes. Yeah. They had all this space on the floor.
That's what I'm talking about.
They played better
than the Celtics.
And then two games before that, or so the last game before that, was when Embiid got called out on Inside the NBA with Shaq.
Well, that had a lot to do with it too. It was a perfect storm, and that was the night Stern had the there we go. There's our throwback cue.
Yeah,
that's when Stern had the stroke though. That was that night.
Yes.
Because it came over the arena and it was almost like the Hayward situation where, like, you knew something happened because the crowd kind of went, ooh, you know what I mean? Cause everybody picked up their smartphones at the same time, but yes. And you're right. All those things did happen.
Right. That's a great way to put it. Those things did happen. Mm-hmm. The Celtics still came out and fell short in both cases.
Yeah.
They could have persevered. They could have been the hospital Celtics and played better than they ever had. They didn't. So now it's a home game. They've got a day off. There's no excuses. Everyone's healthy. Both teams.
Coming off a good win. The Kobe thing, Jason Tatum is smiling, which is nice to see because that kid has been so heartbroken over Kobe. So, you know, not that we're moving on from that, but the dust is starting to settle.
Yes.
And they've got to protect their home court and show that they could beat this team. Because I honestly, you know, guys like Bob would disagree, Jeff maybe. But I think they're a better team than Philadelphia. On paper, Philly might have – I don't even know that, dude. I don't know that on paper, Philly.
I don't know.
I mean, they missed J.J. Redick terribly. I would say that because they don't spread the floor well unless Al is really being involved in the offense. We know Al could get lost if they're not calling his number.
Well, and if he's playing, one of Simmons or Embiid is not.
That's right. So I know.
Until they figure out which one they're going to go with – honestly, I don't have any faith in Philly. I'm not. That's whole thing. The whole Sixers situation to me is not even worth paying too much attention to. Well, it's not worth. It is
when they blow off the canyon and they think the game is over and it's really going into overtime.
Right.
It's always still great stuff that happens. Boneheaded.
I can't take them. I take them seriously, but I think they're underachievers until they have a group that fits together. And that's not Brett Brown. Your two best players got to fit together, and those guys just don't fit in this league right now. If it's 1983, perfect.
Different story. Yep.
All set. But right now, doesn't work.
No, and there's no excuse for it. I mean, you could be a poor shooter, but look at Jalen, for instance. He was not a great outside shooter, and he's come back. Gotten better. Avery Bradley, I mean, now he's kind of washed up, but back in, remember, he come back, he was a terrible shooter. He went to the D League, came back the next season, he had a jump shot. Why is Ben Simmons still not shooting?
Here's another one. How about your buddy Rondo?
I don't know. Come on, he's still a terrible jump shooter. He can hit about 50 in a row during warmups. You put him in the game, and he can't hit it.
But to bring it back to what we were talking about earlier, right? Remember those games against the Lakers? And Kobe would sit below the free throw line, dare him, and he wouldn't shoot. Mm-hmm. And it killed the Celtics offense. That's what's happened with Philly. Now Rondo shoots the ball, and you know it. There's a flow to their offense. But like, if you don't do that, it just everything grinds to a halt. And until he grows up and decides he's going to shoot the ball –
that's
not going anywhere,
dude. I mean, there's like, I mean, like Rondo at least would shoot it during warmups. I mean, this dude doesn't shoot it during warmups. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, this guy won't. And I mean, there is always a cell phone recording of him, and it turns into a joke. But that's part of the game, man. I mean, you've got to come back every year with an improvement somewhere if you're going to be a superstar, right? And he has to be able to at least hit a 16-footer. I mean, at least hit a free throw. Yeah.
Yes.
I
mean, yes.
It's sad. It's sad, and it hurts the entire team as much as he is a great playmaker. His refusal to take a shot. I remember we used to say back in the Rondo, just take the shot. Even if you're a 40% shooter, you got a 40% chance of making it. Four in every time, 10 times you're going to hit a big shot. Taking the shot is almost – having the balls to take the shot is almost as important as being able to make the shot.
Completely. You've got to be a threat out there. You need five people on the court who are threats, and if you aren't a threat, you're killing everybody else because it's five on four on defense, you know, defending the other team. It's just he has to make that switch, and Brett Brown can't do it for him, and Embiid can't do it for him, and Horford can't do it for him, you know. And that's going to be Philly's issue until and either he's going to figure it out, which I don't think will happen, or they're going to have to make a trade of moving either Embiid or Simmons to clean up the roster and build a team that can really compete in today's NBA.
I don't know. I don't see how you ever move Embiid. He is – you talk about throwback players. I mean, you just can't. A big man today that has his abilities is so rare, and – I also think as much as sometimes he wants to put his foot in his mouth, his lightheartedness keeps it eased up. I like Embiid, to be honest with you. And I would, if I were Philadelphia, I would probably, if I had to part with one, it would be Simmons, because he's not a multidimensional player.
Absolutely. In the right situation, though, he can be an absolute all-NBA talent, I believe.
I do too, but he still needs to take the shot.
He's got to take the shot, yeah. But I think if he has that space, I think it will happen for him. You know, I just don't think it's going to happen now. Philly.
He's the only player in NBA history to be a rookie four times. What year is he in?
I think this is his third season. Well, fourth season.
He's so young.
Same year as Jaylen.
As Jaylen, yeah. And he won, he won rookie. Well, he actually was the year before, right? And he didn't play.
No, he was Jaylen's year, but he was a rookie, quote unquote, the year that Tatum was the rookie.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's still very, very young. There's a lot of time. So when you're thinking about that, you have to take that into consideration, too. He's not nearly hit his ceiling. And the guy, as gutless as he is to take a jump shot, he's sure not afraid to speak up. He's not afraid to have the ball in his hands. He needs the ball in his hands. So, but Boston, when it all comes down to it, they need to win on Saturday. And if they don't, John, I still am not afraid of Philadelphia. I will cover every game in that series because it's close to home. Road game. They'll send me down on the road. Me and Josue will probably end up on the road if they play the Philadelphia in the playoffs, which I hope they do. And I'll cover those games and I'll enjoy it because Boston will end up upsetting them.
Absolutely. They'll set the confetti cannon off. And
it was great. And that was one of the best games I covered. I mean, I've covered a lot of games. That one was it was as if the Celtics won the championship when they got into that locker room, because it was such an unlikely win. Yeah. I never seen Al. So speaking of Al, we're bringing on another Horford. We're launching another Horford podcast. Yeah, we're bringing on John, who's a very good ball player.
What's his show gonna be based on?
Well, I'll find out tomorrow. I have a call with him at 10 a.m. But I think it's going to be a combination of pop culture and basketball, not Celtics related. Thankfully, we have more than enough Celtics podcasts out there. But he's into well, dude, you're the one who started this trend, man.
Well, we're a little too popular though. You know what I mean?
Dude, you know, there was 100 people listening to podcasts back then, and all 75 of the 100 were listening to you. And then 25 of those 75 were listening to me right after.
That's right.
And it sounded like we had a ton of people, because all 25 would call in and sit on the call lines. All
exactly. Yes.
Yes. They were good days, though. But I hope to see them, the Celtics, really play that bulldog basketball, you know, that scrappy ball. Yeah. And just out hustle them, and it could happen. The one thing you look at with this current Celtics team is, you know, you look at a guy like Kemba, you think, okay, are they going to be a little bit too loosey goosey? But the truth of the matter is, they have a very loose locker room, but they are a very serious team, and I don't worry about that at all. Kemba shows up, and he doesn't suck the air out of the room. He's a good leader, and I think that this all-star nod for Tatum is going to blossom him. If he's close to 22 points a game, I wouldn't put it past him to be a 23-24 average at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a franchise player, dude. I mean,
I love it.
And I love it. I love his personality. I don't know if in real life, like, he's that shy and quiet. But, man, he is a humble young man and a respectful one and a good ball player. So I'm happy for him having made the All-Star team, and seeing him smile here at the postgame presser was also good, because he's just been so torn off about the Scobie thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right.
Anything I could deter us back off the topic for?
Well, how about this? Real quick from you.
Top five NBA players of the 1970s.
That's right. Go.
That's easy. Go ahead. What about from me?
Well, who's going to win? Who's going to win Saturday? Are they going
to
get the win?
I think it's going to be the Celtics. They have to. And they perform well when they have to. And they perform well. They have been a great team all year, but when they have to, they rise to the occasion. And I think two out of those three games, they didn't, and they lost all three. It's a save face type game. I think Marcus is going to be huge. He's going to come up with those, you know, intangibles that make all the difference. And really, I hate to continually, and I do it all the time, put so much pressure on Hayward, but you saw in Miami, the team plays so much differently when Hayward is a threat out there, when he's engaged and involved. And I look at him as the key. He's the key. If Hayward puts together a 20 point game and he's taking the shot and he's aggressive or playmaking, the Celtics will win.
I think you're absolutely right. There's two levels. I think I look at this game on Saturday. One, winning. Yeah, I think they should. This is something they can win. They should win this game. I think, two, the one thing I really want to see is, to your exact point, can they get us a rotation on the floor or a lineup on the court of their best five? Mm-hmm. And I think that's their team to beat Philly. I know they're not going to be out-rebound them, but that's going to force guys like Embiid and others to have to get on the perimeter.
We're forgetting one big thing, and it's unbelievable that we're saying it. I don't find it unbelievable, but some fans would, and that's will Cantor play, because that is makes a huge difference. He's been really good against Embiid, and again, he's been good all season. So that gives the Celtics a little bit more length on that front line. He could rebound, and his defense, which is his big criticism, has been fairly good this year. So that is a big what if Cantor isn't there. I don't think it's a game changer, but I think it does change the game, if that makes sense. But I agree with you too, because they have been hiding, and during poor stretches, and this goes back to even Brad, they have been hiding behind the fact that they've not been healthy. And now they are healthy if Cantor is back, right? And there's no excuse. And now, you know, you talk about, you know it as well as I do, right? After that All-Star break, you have got to get into a rhythm, tighten up your rotations, and start thinking playoff basketball for the next two, at least month prior to the playoffs. You have to be on some sort of a roll heading in. And it really starts before, right around now. You look at it, it's usually February.
If
Danny doesn't, Trader Dan doesn't break the team up at the trade deadline, you get over that hump, and that's usually right when it's crucial that they start coming together and they're healthy.
Yep, no doubt. All right, Nick, I promised you 30 minutes. We've gone an hour 7 minutes, but
dude,
hey,
it's like the old days. We used to go like 2 hours. Justin would go 12 hours.
No problem. No problem.
Yeah. I could have kept going tonight, but maybe we'd have to talk some ABA. ABA. Hey, you know, it's really funny. Bob Costas, I was watching an ABA special on YouTube the other night. Bob Costas looks exactly the same as he did when he was calling games in the ABA.
Wow.
It's like, this dude does not age. He has been everywhere during this Kobe stuff, which is kind of a throwback to the the early 90s, right? When Costas was running NBA on NBC. Let's wrap with one more historical gripe, let's say. How bad is ABC ESPN? I mean, coming from the CBS NBC era, ABC, it is just so hard to watch.
Yeah.
So hard.
I would say there is the fact that the marquee broadcast, the best games for the NBA feature Van Gundy, and Mark Jackson. and Mike Breen. That's a huge issue. I mean, I'm
actually
sure
like
what
Breen.
He's doing, but oh,
I actually show. Like Breen. I like Van Gundy. No. It's Jackson.
He's terrible.
He brings everybody down. Yeah. How about he goes up? Max is telling me Max tweeted out about Marcus Smart being kind of a throwback to DJ, which I've been saying for years, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And last national game, ESPN game, Jackson, he's told this on his podcast, so I'm not telling anything I can't say, but Mark Jackson walks up to him and says, "I have a bone to pick with you, Cornbread." And he said, "What?" Because there's no way Marcus Smart can't shine DJ's Converse. He goes, and I know for a fact because I played against him. And Max looked up at him and said, "Mark, you do realize I played against him every single day for 5 years in practice." And he was my best friend. So and that kind of like sums up Mark Jackson because he thinks he knows it all.
Yes.
Give me Charles Barkley all day long. One more totally. Bitch. Why do they keep – when they have Kevin McHale on their roster, who isn't great, great, great broadcaster in the booth, but – why do they keep giving us Reggie Miller and Marv Albert? Gosh.
I know.
Reggie Miller, I can't. I'm crying.
Marv doesn't know who he's talking about half the time.
Marv, he looks like a porcelain doll, man. You should see him in person.
I was down there for the Laker game.
He's a wax figurine.
Yeah, it's like, whoa.
He's at Madame Tussauds.
Long story short, I went to the Today Show a couple of years ago, and they were doing one of those concerts, and so they ushered us in, and the guy performed was Barry Manilow.
Oh, that's the all-time.
It's very similar seeing those two guys move.
It's a combination of Barry Manilow, Liza Minnelli, and Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
That's Marv Albert.
Strange.
And I mean, Marv was all marvelous. He was always great. He's so clueless. How about when he said a couple of years ago, Boston Garden or TD Garden always pipes in the chanting and the cheers?
What? I know. I remember that.
Are you kidding me? In the meantime, his home base, the mecca of basketball, Madison Square Garden last night, pumped up the volume on the PA system as it looked like a hostage situation, as the fans were chanting, "Get rid of the owner." I mean, but it's TD Garden. I could do this all night, Duke. I'm not going to do it. I still have to work yet. You know?
Well, all right. Well, listen, I want to thank you for joining me and doing this, Nick.
Yeah, ransack your show, man.
That's what this show is, right?
It's
you know?
True. It's always been. We talk about whatever you want till Justin gets really annoyed.
Exactly. Exactly. And he can't get annoyed.
He's not here. He's in parts unknown.
He has ingested massive amounts of cold medication, and
his text message tonight. I thought if I had kids, it would have sounded just, "I'm so sick. Can you please fill in for me? Please." I'm like, "Do you really want to do it? You know we're not going to talk about anything current." It's like, "Duke will love that. Just do it."
Duke will love that. Just do it for him. I don't care.
Oh, dude, he was here the other – he stopped at he had a parts unknown. He had a pass-through Boston.
He told me. Yeah.
It's like once a year we get together. And so, he crashes in my spare bedroom. But I have all this historical stuff. Like I have Bill Russell signed basketballs. I got all this great pictures no one's ever seen from the 80s. And he's sitting there and he's looking. I'm like, "You don't seem to be getting the kind of thrill out of this I thought you would." He goes, "Oh, no, I think it's amazing. But all I could think of is Duke would really like this a lot more." I was so deflated. He did not like seeing these rare antiquities. But that's it. Have a good night. Go Celtics.
Hey, and everyone, if you're still listening, you gotta do this. You know what we say. If you're still listening, what do you say, Nick?
I don't remember. What do we say?
You say, "You're welcome."
Oh, you're welcome. What am I thinking?
The whole thing is, just to explain it, everyone on podcasts is always like, "Oh, I'm sorry.
You do this." Yes.
And it's like, dude, there is no end of the tape here, man. So if you're still listening, we don't have to apologize to you. This is our gift to you.
If you're still listening, yes, it's a gift.
It's a gift.
You know why I didn't pick up on that? I looked over at NBC Sports Boston right after, the Kobe tribute, the Celtic, Jason Tatum makes the the All-Star team. The Celtics blow out. They're ready to play their rival in 2 days. What are they talking about? They have five people on set right now talking about Tom Brady. They're not even talking about the Super Bowl. They're talking about Brady. I can't. That's my sign-off. I've had enough. I'm going to get beat up on Twitter for this.
On behalf of all the subscribers to your YouTube feed as well, Nick.
I watch it.
And this show.
Keep clicking.
Keep clicking. And you're welcome.
You're welcome.